have a reading from the Gospel of Luke, the 23rd chapter. And as they led him, that is Jesus, away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" We want you to experience a story tonight, because this story has changed the world. And we believe, along with Christians around the world in history, that it will continue to change our lives and our world, because it is the story of God's resolute and persistent commitment to love the world. We'll experience the story tonight as a drama called Tenebrae, which is a Latin word meaning obscurity, or darkness, or shadows. And we will find ourselves tonight in the darkest portion of a bigger story, living out a scene with seemingly the least amount of light, as the things in our lives and our world become obscured in shadow. Shadows everywhere. And we struggle to see any signs of hope and light and life, such that, as Jesus said, there will be seasons in which people say, "You are blessed to not be bringing children in the world. You will be blessed and asking the mountains to fall upon you." Perhaps, if you are human, you've known this feeling. Beyond just the dramatic metaphor of this evening, perhaps you've wondered if we've made such a mess of things that there's no possibility of moving forward toward a beautiful ending, a shared and loving world full of flourishing. Perhaps sometimes all you can see is the darkness. And you find that you slowly are sapped of your strength, your vitality, your courage to keep moving forward toward the light. Maybe you've watched as hope and faith and love begin to seep out of you like sap from a vine, leaving you hollowed out and less than before. Jesus said, "If they do these things when the wood is green," speaking of himself being in the world, "what will happen when the world becomes dry?" And the darkness, friends, is daunting. None of us choose to live in the dark. No one loves to go out into the dark alone, into peril for long periods of time. But it is important to note that encountering the darkness not only doesn't have to be the end of the story, it is also an opportunity. Spending some time in the shadows and the darkness, it's an invitation. It's one we often refuse because it is scary. We don't know what menacing personalities or forces might be hiding outside of the piercing, revealing light out there in the dark. And so we fear to face our own shadows. But consider this. What are shadows? Go ahead and look around some if you want and look for some shadows. Are they not just the result of light shining on objects? Is it not just the areas that hide behind barricades that do obscure a persistent and beautiful life-giving source of light? In other words, even in the shadows, you are still surrounded by light. It is as near to you as your next breath, or more specifically, it is as near as your next step. Out from behind the obscuring object, out of the darkness, and into the light. If you have worshiped with us this Christian year that began with Advent, preparing for Christmas, preparing to see the light come into the world. And if you came on Christmas Eve, you would have been here in this room when we lit candles to represent Jesus coming into the world, the light into the world. And you would have been here as that light spread from candle to candle until it filled the room. And you would have walked through us as we considered the epiphany that is Jesus demonstrating God's love and healing and redemption in the world. All the ways that he brings his light into the darkness. You would have been here on Ash Wednesday when we remembered that we actually are not the source of life. We are sapped. We are dust. And we'll return to dust. And you'll be here tonight as we watch the light slowly be snuffed out. The Apostle John said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, he was in the beginning with God, and all things, everything, was made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made, and in him was life, and the life was the light of humanity." Then he says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Did you notice that John says nothing about the proportion of darkness to light? In other words, the sun came out today after a lot of rain, and it was beautiful, and you could see the flowers, and you could see the color, and you could see everything. And tonight, it is much darker. There are just a few lights in the room. John doesn't say anything about the seasons in which you find yourself, but he is insistent that the light will continue to shine in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. And so, as we watch these lights snuffed out, I want you to consider two things. It would be natural to feel a sense of guilt, a sense of, wow, my life, my culpability, the choices I made have led to Jesus dying for me and for the world. And I feel some guilt about that. But in the Bible, guilt itself doesn't lead to anything good. It is only what they call godly grief. Grief over losing God in your life and in your world. And so as you see the lights go out, you might think of a relationship that went sour and you refused to forgive and to continue. And there was some love and some life and light and possibility and hope snuffed out. Or some other place in your life in which you've let the troubles of this world obscure the light of God, and you remain in the shadow. And I want you not to stay in guilt, but also to see Jesus in his solidarity, saying, "I will become just like you. I will allow my light to be snuffed out so that you know I am with you all the way to the end. And in fact, I will go to your greatest fear, that is death. And as you'll experience, the light going out traditionally into the crypt, the last light, the Christ candle, to remain in repose until Easter Sunday morning, that even death could not snuff out the resurrection life of God in Jesus. And so we have nothing to fear. Langston Hughes wrote this in a letter to a friend once about music, and I'll close with this. He said, "The blues always impressed me as being very sad, sadder even than the spirituals, because their sadness is not softened with tears, but instead it's hardened with laughter. The absurd, incongruous laughter of a sadness without even a God to appeal to." Whatever grief you might feel in this service, allow it not to harden or to distance or to block it out, to be obscure, but instead to bring it to God, to say, "I want more of your life and light in this world." To bring it like a spiritual to him, to lament and to ask him to come for more of us. There will be readings. There will be periods of silence. Jesus will demonstrate to you how much he loves you and is committed to this world. And you will see his light as he becomes like us in our darkness. But the darkness will not overcome it. And we hope you will join us Easter Sunday as we experience his light that will rise like a spring sun over all things, a light that will never go out and that will spread over the entire universe and cosmos. We'll ask you at the end of the service to leave in silence tonight and to wait for Easter morning. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.